This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be. I'll be just so lonely, baby. Well, I'm so lonely. I'll be just so lonely, I could die. Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the gloom. I'll be just so lonely, baby. I'll be just so lonely. I'll be so lonely, they could die.
Oh yeah, a little bit of the King. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. I hope you had a great Christmas. We are back. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Monday, December the 28th. Holy Toledo. 3 more days left after this, right? And then the new year. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Adam Michael of the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk about 9 things that you got to know on this stimulus and omnibus spending packages that Trump just finally signed at the last moment, right? And speaking of Trump, he is being roasted for that decision at the last minute to sign the government spending packages, all the while railing at Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell for not fighting for him during the election. He's very upset about that. He's over in Mar-a-Lago, down in Mar-a-Lago, Florida right now. We're going to get some thoughts on all of this and his future with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi, later in the show. And among other things, we have got the Georgia election coming up in just about a week. And we're going to talk a little bit, about a week and a half, we're going to talk a little bit about will Donald Trump be involved with that? And finally, you might remember a few shows back, we gave you the top 10 cities gaining the most people during this virus. Well, turnabout being fair play, we're going to give you this morning the top 10 cities that are losing people during the pandemic. So a lot going on. By the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For the best haircut, you guys in Tampa Bay, for my money, it's Andrew and his staff. They're located in Dunedin. They are located in the Overcash Plaza. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's also called Main Street there. So 580 Main Street in Dunedin. Also, don't forget Good Morning Clearwater every morning, 8 to 10 a.m., right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, Paul and Tracy Allen. Let them start off your day. By the way, they also got beautiful things that they can create for you if you're a business. Posters, banners, flyers, business cards. Hey, they can probably print money for you. I'll bet they're good at counterfeit money. Anyway, Good Morning Clearwater. Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. All right. Well, we got, gosh, a lot of things going. I hope you had a good Christmas, Ed. And it's nice to be back after almost a week. You know, it's a different spin this year. I don't think very many people, I mean, did Christmas feel like Christmas
No.
to you?
No, I mean, it's the one good thing was the weather cooperated. It was very Christmassy, the weather was.
It was.
But you know, the starting with the shopping days, you didn't see congestion at the malls, stuff like that, usual stuff. And people were easily agitated this year and more than usual.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, because they felt the same thing. It really wasn't going the same. You know, people didn't travel much and whatnot. So
I imagine a lot of families cut back on the number of people showing up on Christmas Day.
I think people just like, let's get this thing out of the way, get vaccinated, and move on.
It's a surreal Christmas weekend. Yeah, I think you're right. Well, we got New Year's coming up. I imagine this would stifle New Year's Eve parties, right? What do you think?
Well, yeah, of course. Look at what's happening in New York, Times Square. They're only going to allow 100 first responders.
They're not
in
dropping
Times
the ball
Square.
Either. They're only
yes, they are.
No, they're drop. No, they're not.
They're not.
No, they're dropping Mayor De Blasio instead.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, don't you remember that?
Is it head first or
head first?
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice thing.
I think Cuomo was going to catch him, wasn't he?
Cuomo's going to be standing under him.
Can't like catch the bouquet. He'll
well,
catch
I don't
the,
know if he'll
mayor.
Catch him, but he's going to stand under him.
Yeah, break his fall, hopefully.
I tell you what. Things are different. You got to have a sense of humor about everything. You know, we were hoping, I guess the vaccine is on its way. I don't know when we're going to get it. Are you going to, Ed, if the vaccine comes this way, are you going to take the vaccine?
Yes, yeah, I will.
Mm-hmm. You don't have any reservations?
No.
Okay.
And the thing, when you talk about New Year's, you know, if you're trying to make a reservation, the reservations are going to be very small, you know, because they have to still, with the social distancing, unless you're Beverly Hills where you're an idiot and you send out invitations that a secret party is going to happen.
That everybody knows about.
Yeah, tell your friends, but keep it a secret.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a way to do it. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, President Trump relented. He relented at the last minute. I didn't find out about I was watching football last night, one of those football games. And so what happens? Trump goes ahead. He signs the thing. He's very... You know, he wanted to get $2,000 out to everybody. It's going to be $600, at least so far. Now, who knows how these rules go anymore? The way I understand the Constitution is if you get a bill as the president, if you get a bill on your desk and you sign it, it becomes the law. And that's the end of it. The House, though, the House of Representatives today is going to vote on a bill to send $2,000 to Americans instead of the $600 checks in this stimulus package. The vote comes after Trump, for the better part of a week, railed against the size of the checks, too small, and the amount of foreign aid and all the other perks, too much. Too much. I think I made a mistake last week, and I think I said we were studying or helping transgenders or whatever in Afghanistan. It was Pakistan. We got to make a difference. I don't think in Afghanistan they would last very long. Maybe in Pakistan they have half a chance. But, I mean, all that money that's going out the door, I mean, it makes me mad. I think the only guy that has any guts these days in all of this is Rand Paul. He voted against it.
So did Rick Scott.
Good for Rick.
Marco Rubio did not.
Bad for Marco.
He voted for it.
Yeah. He went along with the party. Well, I'm glad that Rick Scott did, and I'm especially, and also Rand Paul, who always says he's not going to vote for this garbage that they throw into it. I mean, we've talked about it till we're blue in the face, but it no longer makes any difference how deep in debt we get. Nobody seems to care. Because they haven't felt anything. When they feel something, you know, it's like being promised punishment if you do something wrong and never getting the punishment. You keep doing the wrong thing, don't you? Because you know you're not going to get any punishment for it, right?
Wouldn't it be nice to have a town hall meeting just in Florida and have Marco Rubio up there and have him explain to us why he voted for that when he is willing to give other countries' money for transgender, the swimming of fish and trees
fish
falling.
Thing.
And I've got a family right here. They can't pay their electric bill.
Yeah.
They're getting kicked out of their house. Tell me.
We have
two things that are the most important things that they're hurting this country. It's the COVID, and it's the fact that people, because of the COVID, can't pay their bills. We need to take care of those two problems first.
And we could have done it separately.
Sure.
I don't know why we have to include all of these other things. I think the people that threw that garbage into these bills need to be highlighted, spotlighted, made to stand up, and made to defend themselves. I would like to know who finances the goldfish and the lizard and the lizard on a treadmill and all of that stuff. I really would like to. Then they need to speak to it.
Can you imagine the size of the check the Americans would get if you took all that pork, took it out, and gave all that money that you approved to the American people? You imagine what the size of their check would be? instead of $600?
Oh my goodness.
What?
For all the money we send out, we could all be millionaires. $10,000
each?
We could all be millionaires if we took the same amount of money that they're sending everywhere. Anyway, we could go on about that, and we will a little bit later on. But in the meantime, let us take our break. And then when we come back, Adam Michael's going to tell us about 9 things we need to know about these packages.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Tune in to Old East Channel Radio every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Do you remember the 50s, 60s, and 70s? Well, we'll be playing the greatest hits as well as plenty of songs from the B-side. This show is sure to bring back memories. So pull out your record collection, adjust your antenna, and listen to Old East Channel Radio Fridays from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on the Monday following the big day, Christmas Day, and we are delighted to have back Adam Michel joining us. He is the Senior Policy Analyst at Heritage Foundation's Herman Center for the Federal Budget. And we're going to talk a little bit about a piece that indeed the Heritage Foundation had on their website, 9 things you need to know about the $1.4 trillion omnibus and $900 billion COVID package. Adam, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me back on.
Ah, it's absolutely our pleasure. Now, President Trump, late yesterday, signed this whole package. It outrages a lot of people, and I guess a lot of other people are happy about it. Let me ask you flat out, do you think he did the right thing in signing this package?
This package is a monster. It does a whole bunch of things that are necessary, and it does a whole bunch of things that are really, really atrocious. I think ultimately this was a missed opportunity, and I wish the president was engaged earlier in the process to push for those things that that he was highlighting sort of at the last minute, so that he would stick to the words that he put out there in 2018. The last time he signed one of these so-called omnibus bills, where they push through trillions of dollars of spending in one big bill at the end of the year. He said he would never sign another bill like this again.
Yeah, he vowed not to. Right.
And again, he capitulated.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess everybody is to blame in this, right? I mean, we can blame Trump for signing it. We can blame Mitch McConnell for allowing it. We can obviously blame the Democrats. We were talking before you came on about highlighting people that throw some of the stuff that they do into this bill, and making them, spotlighting them so people know who they are. But this stuff gets, tucked away. Nobody's read the bill. It's like that health care bill. Remember Nancy Pelosi? We have to sign the bill before read it.
It's even worse than that because it's significantly longer. The healthcare bill was, I think, just over 3,000 pages. This thing was 5,500 pages. They released it at after noon on the same day they were supposed to sign it. And it makes it difficult to highlight those people that shove special interest provisions in here because it is written behind closed doors.
That's exactly
because
right.
No one actually knows what's included or how it is included and by whom.
And isn't it these little people we never hear of that actually construct it, the bureaucrats? I mean, how much input do you think comes from the actual, let's say, congressmen themselves? I guess they say certain things and they say, look, toss this in. And then what happens? I mean, literally, I wonder how this sausage is made. Do a group of people get together in a room and say, okay,
eventually people do have to get into a room and make these decisions. But you're right, that sort of average member of the House has very little say when these big compromise bills are constructed by leadership in the House and the Senate. And that's a problem. It means that ultimately these things are being written by a few people and their aides. And that's how these types of policies that you were highlighting earlier, that we keep trying to highlight, keep getting added back into these bills year after year after year. And they never really see the light of day because they're buried under a thousand other equally horrific provisions.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking with Adam Michelle. He is a senior policy analyst at the Heritage Foundation at their Herman Center for the Federal Budget. Jeez, Adam, I'm thinking about this. You work and specialize in looking at the federal budget. Excuse me for laughing. But the federal budget is such a balloon. You must sometimes go home and go, you know, what in the hell am I doing? So let's look at the nine things. And I guess we should credit Matt Dickerson and David Ditch, who wrote this. But here are the nine things, and then maybe we'll come back on them and you can touch on them. Number one, develop behind closed doors, which we just talked about. Number two, the non-defense spending levels are inflated and gimmicked. Three, the relief package is too much waste, little meaningful response. Four, it gives sweetheart deal tax extenders to special interests. Five, enables the government to interfere in the energy market. Six, it rightfully ends surprise medical billing, but creates a new class of rate-setting bureaucrats. Seven, it wisely winds down the Federal Reserve's emergency authority. I'm going to ask you about that. Number eight, it will increase defense stability. Well, that sounds like a good thing. And finally, it defends key pro-life policies that the left have in its crosshairs. Okay, let's start with number nine right away. How does it defend pro-life policies? Is it going to hold back taxpayer money, for instance, for Planned Parenthood, or what's going on with it?
So the bill included what's known as the Hyde Amendment and the Weldon Amendment, which are two things that have been historically included in bills like this for quite some time. And they generally deny government funds going to pay for abortions and keep healthcare providers from being discriminated against if they refuse to provide or pay for or refer for abortions. And while these provisions are crucial and necessary, to call them a win is going one step too far. These are things that have broad bipartisan support and included in these types of bills forever. And so the fact that we got to hold on to it for one more year is little solace.
Yeah, it's not a win. It's just kind of an extension, a continuation. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Similarly, for the defense stability that you mentioned, number eight on the list.
Yeah.
Again, it's funding our military should just be a basic, something basic that Congress does every year, and applauding that they included money for defense and included funding for more fighter jets and some submarines like the military was asking for is really just sort of baseline of what Congress should be doing.
Yeah, and I would think Trump would have said yeah to that anyway, no matter how much he's wailing about the pork. How about number seven on this? It wisely winds down the Fed's emergency authority. Tell us about what is the Fed's emergency authority and how is it being, kind of curtailed?
So this is something that Senator Pat Toomey fought for, and it basically says that these $500 billion plus authority that Congress gave to the Federal Reserve for emergency lending to private businesses, to state and local governments, that emergency authority needs to be wound down and can't be indefinitely extended by the Biden administration moving forward. Mm-hmm. And so this is just common sense policy to make sure that the Congress isn't further delegating economic policy to the bureaucrats at the Federal Reserve and at Treasury.
Okay. And was this extension or this emergency funding authority given to the Fed because of the virus? Is that how that came about?
Correct. Yes. Okay. This was the original piece was in the CARES Act early in the pandemic, so that to give the Federal Reserve additional leeway to support those parts of the economy that were crushed by shutdowns and the rest of the virus's effect.
Okay. And then number six, it rightfully ends surprise medical billing, which sounds good, but then creates a new class of rate-setting bureaucrats, which sounds bad.
It does. There's some good and some bad in there. While Heritage has been fighting for a compromise on surprise medical billing, the way that this bill goes about it creates a mandatory arbitration, is what they call it, that not only includes people that have decided to contractually enter into that agreement, but effectively scoops in parties that would otherwise have not agreed to that binding arbitration. And so it just sort of takes one step too far by sweeping in people that otherwise could contract on their own outside of these federal mandates. And then they institute a new federal bureaucracy to sort of police that.
Oh, God.
And we see some problems with
that. Yeah. And then five, it enables the government to interfere in the energy market. I suspect this has something to do along with it, the Green New Deal and all that kind of stuff.
So it's sort of the opening salvo in that direction. The Democrats are able to increase funding, federal funding and other subsidies through the tax code and elsewhere to expand wind, solar, geothermal, hydropower. So you go down the list, it essentially is a restarting of some of the programs we saw in 2005, 2007. The Solyndras of the world, if you remember that debacle, where the federal government is picking winners and losers in the energy market rather than allowing consumers to drive the development decisions that private companies go about.
Yeah, for the life of me, they all know that it shouldn't be a top-down kind of thing. They all know that. I think it's almost like corruption, you know? These bureaucrats
it is corruption.
Yeah,
these fledgling industries that sound promising come to Congress and say we just need a little bit of help to get our feet under us, and then 10, 15 years later, the federal government is still doling out subsidies to prop up wind, solar. You go down the list, and it really just creates a cycle of lobbyists and industry. And then putting money into the pockets of politicians to continue these programs that really just benefit the lobbyists, the lawyers, and the politicians that are involved in them.
Adam, from your perch where you are, knowing what you know, do you think any of this kind of nonsense every year at the end of the year is ever going to end? Is anyone going to ever take anybody else to task? Is it a reason why we should have term limits? You know, I just wonder. An apathetic public is allowing it. That's the way it's been. It just, I don't know. I just want to get your thought.
I think you're exactly right that it's an apathetic public that's allowing this to happen. You think back to the Tea Party movement that really got a lot of Americans fired up about what then seemed like a huge deficit of $1 trillion. We're now well past that. That swept through Congress and created in 2011 something called the Budget Control Act, which put a cap on government spending and tried to sort of set Congress back on path so that they're budgeting in the light of day and addressing a lot of these things. But that movement sort of fizzled out, and ultimately we are back to where we started. Those budget caps have been increased. They're going to expire in the next year or two. And so it really comes down to the American people really caring about these issues again. And I hope that folks get back on this and realize that $27 trillion in debt is something that my grandkids will be paying back, not even my kids or myself, that this is a really big, big problem, and we need to start dealing with it now.
I tell you what, my friend, I really appreciated, Adam, that you were able to join us, especially between the holidays like you have. And boy, oh boy, you're going to be a busy guy with all of this going on. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, and happy holidays.
Happy New Year to you. Adam Michelle.
You as well.
All right, sir. Adam Michelle of the Heritage Foundation. All right, let us take our break. When we come back, let us find out if the master barber survived Christmas. Donald Trump is being roasted for his last-minute decision to sign this thing. We'll get some thoughts on all of this with the master barber.
There is nothing that is wrong wanting you to stay here with me.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. We are back. Three more days until, wow, 2021. It's hard to believe we're living in 2021. I guess from someone like me that remembers the 20th century, to be in the 21st century, and we're almost a quarter of the way through it. Holy Toledo. By the way, good news on the stock market. Equity markets hit record highs this morning. Stock market jumped about 286 points. Holy Toledo. It's over 30,400 points. So anybody that's got anything in the stock market should be jumping for joy. We got the master barber himself to join us. Andrew, do you have any money in the stock market or mutual funds or anything?
No, Paul, everything I've ever done, I believed in real estate. For me, if I wanted to gamble money in the stock market, I'd take my money to Vegas and gamble it myself.
Yes. You're kind of like, what was her name in Gone with the Wind? Land is the only thing, real estate is the only thing that lasts.
That's right.
You know, Vivian Leigh, Scarlett O'Hara, and all that kind of stuff.
That's it.
Yeah. So,
Paul.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, my friend. What do you need to say?
Well, I was going to ask you what you thought about the bombing that happened in Nashville the other day.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Tell us.
Not for nothing, but How many blasts have we had in this country in the last 4 years?
How many?
Yeah. I mean, you don't think of a domestic terrorist attack. I don't think there was one, was there?
Not many. I can't think of any offhand.
Now, all of a sudden, with all this election stuff going on, the AT&T building, who supposedly had these Dominion machines there to do the recount, they were hired, I guess, to check out these machines. All of a sudden, there's a blast in Nashville warning people to get out of the way. Now, if you get on YouTube, you're going to see a bunch of millennials that have got videos out there. Now, something streaking across the sky.
So what's the bottom line here? Are you going to say...
My bottom line is this, Paul. The deep state is deeper than we think. And you know that at the same time that happened in Nashville, Tennessee, a printing company in Rochester, New York, that has been around for like 100 years and a family happened to burn to the ground.
Well, what's the connection?
Well, my connection is, you know, with all this stuff going on with the election, you got AT&T being blasted in Nashville. You got a printing company in Rochester, New York, of all places, burning to the ground. They might have been printing some ballots there, had some kind of evidence. But you know what? I believe Trump has got all the evidence already before this happened. So I think that the deep state is a little late on what they're
doing. So you think that this bombing wasn't the handiwork of one nut, who, by the way, apparently blew himself up in the RV?
You know what amazes me the most, Paul, is the FBI. They're really freaking good because they found a little piece of skin or something after this big blast, and the DNA goes to this one guy, and they find his house already. Isn't it amazing how fast the FBI can really get things done? But yet, they got Hunter Biden's laptop computer.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah.
Okay, Paul. Yeah. This is a bunch of baloney. It's all coming from the deep state. It's distractions. They think they're getting rid of evidence. Last night I was watching the History Channel. President McKinley. Did you ever hear the stories how he got elected in 1890-something?
Well, Big Ed would tell you that I was there to watch it, but it wasn't true.
But anyway...
McKinley was... go ahead. Mm-hmm.
If you go back and look at history and how McKinley got elected, you had Rothschild, you had Rockefellers, all putting money in to getting McKinley elected because the one candidate, I forgot his name, Burke or something, was running against him. He had thousands and thousands of people at his rallies, and they were nervous that he was going to get in. Paul, it's no different than what's going on today. The deep state is deeper than we could imagine, and everything that's going on today is to trap the American people. It's just like President Trump signing this bill. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, apparently there was some act drawn up in 1974 that Trump signed this bill, but they have got to get rid of certain pork out of this bill. Okay? Otherwise, I guess it's no good.
Well, that's what it's getting a little bit, complex or hairy or whatever the word. If he signs the bill, then it's law. I mean, because
supposedly.
Okay.
But, Paul, you know where everything is going today. What's law? What isn't law?
I know. That's.
You know what today is going to bring? I'm thinking of opening up a speakeasy, Paul.
Oh.
Speakeasies, man. They're gonna have a comeback like you never seen. Okay?
In other words, instead of banning alcohol like the old times, right now we're banning opening bars of any kind.
And having a party. That's right.
So, okay. I like it.
Come back at a speakeasy.
I like that.
I do too.
There's money to be made. You can open it in the back of your barbershop. I'll be one of your first customers.
Don't tell anybody.
I won't tell a soul.
I got to put one of those revolving doors. But yeah, Paul, it disgusts me to see what's going on today.
No, it
There's
is
no
disgusting.
There's no question about it. And I'll tell you what, I don't know what's going to happen.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Let me ask you this flat out. We're talking with the master barber, Andrew. Should Trump have signed this?
Paul, I don't believe so. I think he did it because the American people are suffering. But you know who's going to suffer from this whole bill? Well, by doing this, Paul, they're pushing in socialism because our kids and our grandkids are never going to be able to pay off this debt. we're going to depend on the government to support them.
You know, I'm beginning to wonder, we always say our kids and grandkids, I wonder if even they, here's what I'm wondering, I mean, ultimately, really, how this works. If we're like $26 trillion in debt, all of a sudden, one day, the money that we are printing, which goes through the Federal Reserve, becomes like worthless because people in different countries go, you know what? I'm not banking on the dollar anymore. I don't think it's as credible as it used to be. It's all based on, isn't it all based on, what's the word, perception? Isn't this whole thing right now based on the perception that a dollar from the United States will be honored? But what if it's like a domino effect? What if some of these countries start saying, you know what? We ain't taking no stinking American money anymore. And then like a domino effect, all of a sudden, because we're $26 trillion in debt, and we don't have any backing on that $26 trillion right now. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly, Paul. It's going to be useless, you know, but the Chinese money is going to be where it's at.
Yeah. And that's another thing. We've been avoiding talking about how treacherous China has been. And not just with the virus, although, you know, allowing it to people to get on the planes with the virus and go to different countries, that to me is treachery in itself. But, you know, the cover up of the whole thing. And in the meantime, I guess they must be applauding Joe Biden, who may become the president. They must be happy about that, right?
Oh, China? Oh, they
China.
Love it. They got him on a leash.
Yeah.
He's going to do whatever they want him to. We're going to have more Chinese drywall coming in here. If they think the COVID virus is killing people, where do they get the mold in their Chinese drywall?
Oh, God. Well, one there is one good thing. I do like Chinese food. Will we have more Chinese restaurants?
Well, China is good for egg foo young. Don't get
there
me wrong.
There you go.
I said that last week. That's about the only thing they make that's any good.
You know, actually, we should never disparage Chinese Americans. First of all, I love them, and I do love Chinese food. But it is indeed communist China and its leaders. Why in God's name they can't figure out a way to depose these people? You know
why? Because Paul, the Democrats are all involved with them. They're all making money. It's great to them. You think they care about the little people? They don't care about them, Paul.
Yeah.
And anybody who thinks so is a fool.
Okay, on to let's say brighter topics to some extent. Are you doing anything for New Year's?
I'm going out, but I can't tell you where.
Why not?
No, it's a big party.
Oh, you mean Ed and I are not invited? Ed and I want to go.
You're invited, but I got to tell you personally, I can't tell you over the air where this is because it's kind of like a speakeasy.
Oh, I see. All right.
That's right.
All
right. Paul, you know what, Paul? People don't give two craps about this COVID thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You see a few people driving in their car with their gloves and their masks, but Paul, people don't care. Look around you. Look what's going on.
Mm-hmm. I think people
over it.
Yeah. Well, we both agree that people that have, systems that are already fragile and older people, I'm talking about people in nursing homes and that kind of a thing. Obviously, you don't want them to catch anything. You don't want them to catch pneumonia or the flu.
Stay there and close them off. You know, Paul, pneumonia kills the older people.
Yes.
The flu kills the older people.
Right.
Car accidents kill the older people. Everything kills people, Paul. It's a thing in life. What they say, you're guaranteed to die and pay taxes. That's it.
Yeah. What if I don't pay taxes? Do I still have to die?
Well, that's a good thing, Paul. I think the only thing that's bad is the people that think, oh, we're going to get a refund. I think nobody should file an income tax this year and see what happens.
Do you think the $600 is like, it's going to do anything? Do you think it should be $2,000?
Well, I think all the money that they're giving to Pakistan for their gender studies and to Egypt to buy Russian warfare, I think they shouldn't get any of that money. And if they're going to get in debt, give it to the American people who are going to pay the debt.
Yeah. I think you make good sense.
I mean, let's be real here, Paul. What's going on in this country today is disgusting.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen here. If things keep going the way they're going, I'm telling you, Paul, people are going to start get blown up, but it ain't going to be just with the Nashville guy. You're going to see things go down, and I think they're going to see a coup on Washington one of these days like you've never seen.
Yeah, you've mentioned that. I think a lot of people do talk about it. I talk with other people. They feel the way you do about it, I must say. It's a little scary. It's a little scary.
About 5 million people all armed marching on Washington, grabbing these people by the scruff of the neck and dragging them in the street, just like they did to Mussolini. That's what needs to be done.
I wouldn't want to see Joe Biden hanging upside down.
Right, they got that comedian chick holding his head cut off instead of Trump's all over the computer.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. My friend, it's always a delight. I am so glad that we're past Christmas. We're between the holidays, but we'll be talking again tomorrow. So
well, you may as well enjoy this New Year's celebration, Paul, because come January 6th, we don't know what's going to happen. Could be all-out war in this country.
Oh, boy. Yeah, the great unknown. Well, thanks.
That's right. And we don't know anything that's going to happen.
Indeed. Well, thank you, my friend, and I look forward to talking with you tomorrow.
You got it, Paul. Have a good day,
buddy. All right. Thanks, Andrew. The Master Barber. Andrew, okay. Let us take our break. When we come, among other things, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the Georgia runoff. Is Donald Trump going to show up over there? Is Donald Trump still mad at Joe McConnell? And did you know that in Britain, a drug that gives instant immunity to the coronavirus has been developed? We'll talk about that as well.
Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame. You broke my...
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We'll concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment on our first show back since Christmas. And in the UK, a new antibody treatment, which gives people apparently instant immunity after they've been exposed to the virus. It's being trialed by scientists right now. The drug would offer immediate, long-term protection to people that have gotten stricken with the virus. Too late to offer a vaccine. You know what I mean? It's too late to be preventative. So it actually goes after the virus while it's in your system. It could be given as an emergency treatment to hospital inpatients, to home residents, to college students. Now, apparently, it says here, they hope the treatment would provide protection from the virus for between 6 months to a year. So it actually kills the virus in your system and allows you to be safe from getting it for 6 months to a year. So it's being trialed right now by the scientists in the UK. It looks like, I guess, can we not then go into, I mean, where would you go? Let's say that it was available here in the United States, right? I guess you could run over to the Walgreens. First they'd have to test you to see if you have it, I guess. And then they'd give you the shot. I wonder how quickly, you know, it would be get into your system and actually get rid of the virus. That'd be amazing.
Well, maybe they have two shots. You get the regular COVID shot and then the COVID plus.
Well, this shot is only for people that have already got the virus. Now, you're not going to give the virus vaccine, you know what I mean, the one there that we've got. You're not going to give that to people that already have the virus.
Well,
developing antibodies on their own.
One of the two that's out right now, the Pfizer and the Moderna, is one of those two is supposed to aid in the recovery of it, too.
Okay.
One of the two of them.
Okay. Once you got the virus, I thought that the antibodies in your system will actually build up and keep you from getting it again. But maybe this is an additional booster on it. I don't know. Maybe you're right about that. I'm going to have to look into that. Anyway, Trump is turning his attention to this Georgia race. We've talked about it. Two Senate seats, both in Georgia, both runoffs. They will make the difference between whether the Republicans hold the Senate or not. And God forbid the Democrats get control of the Senate. That means they would have the House, the Senate, and the White House. And my God, Katie bar the door. Can you imagine what would happen? This is so critical. So Trump has scheduled a rally in Georgia to help get Republican Senator Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue across the finish line. Let's see what happens there. And finally, before we get to our top 10, I want to talk with Ed, because I was watching a lot of football, Ed, this Sunday, because it's the second to last weekend of NFL regular season football. My beloved Chicago Bears actually have a chance to be in. Mm-hmm. But for Tampa Bay, great news. We've made it. We're guaranteed to be in the playoffs. Tell us, they really look pretty good, the Buccaneers, in this game. And what are their chances, do you think, to get to the Super Bowl?
Well, they look good because the Detroit Lions, who they just played, I think you or I probably could have started for them in the next couple of weeks. They had players out with COVID. They had coaches that have been fired, coaches who were out with COVID. So they're pretty bad, but got to give them credit. Brady looked fantastic,
of course.
The whole offense, you know, 34 points in the first half, Buccaneer record for that.
And they were worried about the first half startup. All of a sudden, kind of like that. That was.
But you know what?
Away.
That's what you're supposed to do. You know, when you play a bad team, you're supposed to really beat up on them. The problem is that in years past, the Bucs would play a team that's down and play to their level, and you know, barely squeak one out. So
right now, as you look at the National Conference, which is the conference that the Bucs are in, and also my beloved Bears. But who do you think looks the strongest right now,
you know,
to go to the Super Bowl?
In the NFC, I think you got to say Green Bay. Green Bay could play anywhere in a snowstorm.
Yesterday.
It looks like everything's going to go through Green Bay. And you know what? If the Bucs have to go to Green Bay in the end, I'm not worried because our quarterback played 20 years in the snow.
He'll be the only one.
He'll be
the only one on the team that'll be used to the weather.
This will be like blowing his nose to him, you know.
Green Bay is absolutely the coldest stadium to play with in the NFL.
Yeah.
And you're right.
Not in Buffalo, yeah.
Oh, I guess Buffalo. But
Buffalo,
I think Green Bay's, Buffalo's snow, Green Bay's cold. Mm-hmm. Those are the two. So it could make a difference because Green Bay would be playing all home games in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about, real quickly, in the American Conference, do you see, is it Kansas City?
Yeah, I think so. They stumbled a little yesterday and almost lost to the Falcons, but, you know.
So let me get back. If Tom Brady and the Bucs ended up playing Green Bay in Green Bay, do you think that the Bucs would have any chance?
Yes. Well, they already beat them here. They beat them soundly.
Early in the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. What the heck am I worried about? All right. Sounds good. All right, my friend. Time for our top 10. And we have, remember a few shows back, top 10 cities that gained people from the virus? Well, we're now top 10 that lost people. Here we go. Number 10. Pittsburgh. I'm surprised. Pittsburgh's always been a city that people always said was, you know, a great place to go to. But they lost people. Number 9. Cincinnati, Ohio. Now, why they lost people in Cincinnati is beyond me. They have a very low cost of living there, by the way, 147th of all major cities.
Well, you said this because of COVID, right?
Yeah. They lost because of COVID.
They've got one of the biggest lockdowns of,
Okay. Yeah. Right. All right. Number 8. Detroit.
Yep.
Yeah. I can believe
Michigan.
It.
Michigan. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Number 7. Boston. Boston lost a lot of people, and they also are losing people because it's the 8th highest cost of living.
Yeah, they lost that guy Tom Brady, too.
There you go. They're all coming here to watch him play. Yeah. Number 6. Norfolk, Virginia. Now, you know, they got all the shipbuilding and stuff in Norfolk, Virginia, government
stuff. Isn't that where the rich folk live?
Yeah, yeah. A lot, and they all work for the government. Yeah. They all work for the government. All right, number 5, Cleveland. Well, they've been always been leaving Cleveland. I don't know what's going on there.
Even the Browns left. Wow.
Yeah, you know, Cleveland is kind of... Actually, you know, I've never been to Cleveland, and it's always the butt of jokes. I'll bet it's not a bad place to live if you think about it. Have you ever been to Cleveland?
No.
Why don't we send you to Cleveland for a week, and then you can report on it? What do you think?
No.
No? Okay. Number 4. Oh, my beloved Chicago is number 4. Mm. Well, I'm not surprised. All kinds of things going wrong there. They had a horrible weekend, by the way, the Christmas weekend. They had like 7 people, people killed. It's just horrible. All right, number 3. The city by the bay, San Francisco. It's going, that is, of all the cities in the country, San Francisco, I think it's the saddest story. The saddest story in this country is San Francisco, what it used to be. Beautiful city.
Isn't that one of those cities where the, what do they call it?
Well, look, big homeless right now.
You're right. Well, what do they call the cities that they don't prosecute people or something for? For being illegal.
Yeah, the illegal. Right, it's sanctuary city.
That's a sanctuary city.
And it's also the third costliest city to live in. Mm. Yeah. Okay, number 2. New York. I'm not surprised.
Oh, man, really?
Thanks to Governor, to two people, Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio.
See, that could be his campaign slogan.
Yeah.
At least we weren't
cleaned
number,
out the city.
No, at least we weren't number 1.
I tell you what, he's cleaning out the city one way or the other.
Because I tell you who's number 1. I have a feeling it's going to be New Jersey.
Well, let's find out. By the way, New York is number 1 in cost of living. All right, number 1. You think, where in New Jersey? What city? Just throw one out.
Let's go Trenton.
Okay. Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh.
Hartford, Connecticut. I have friends that live in Hartford, Connecticut. And I tell you what, lots of people can't wait to leave. Connecticut's become very tough to live in.
Why?
Cost of living.
Okay.
Taxes. All of those things. Almost as bad as New Jersey. I would have put... Like you said, New Jersey, the whole state of New Jersey. Anyway, thank you for joining us. We will be back tomorrow, Tuesday. Be safe, and remember, freedom works.
Summer loving had me a blast.